we got here, guys? Food.
I love food. What? A big food? Do you not have work? This is awesome. Come on, listen here.
Steve, the what?
John, be careful.
I have a car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
Good morning, Church in the Falls. We have so much to be thankful for, amen? Well, today we are going to talk a lot about being thankful. Specifically, we are going to hear from the Word of God about being thankful and from the people of God. As you notice, there are many things we can be thankful for. And so today what we want to do is we're going to have four different, or technically five, but four different periods of speakers who are going to share what they're thankful for. And I'm going to weave in between that some scriptures from the Lord about a very special reality that all of these are going to encompass. And we'll talk about that at the end. But I do want to draw your attention on the front of your bulletin. One of our shepherds, Doug, has written a whole bunch of things that we can be thankful for. Just tremendously wonderful blessings. So read those and be encouraged by that. And as we read scripture today, you can follow along on the screen and listen to the words of the people of God as they share things that God has done in their life and through their life. Now, we have four speakers today, the first one was not able to be here for the second service. So what we did is we recorded a video of the first service, and you're going to get to watch that one, and then the rest of the three will be live and are ready for you. But before we do any of that, I have got to say, if you're a visitor with us today, we are so honored that you're here. Our vision at Church in the Falls is we want to be a family. That was your cue, guys. Oh, man, we're going to try this again. We are trying to be a family that anyone can belong to. So wherever you're coming from in your journey, you're here because you're leaning into the Lord at some level. And you've got all kinds of questions. Some of you are mature Christians and have been walking for years. Some of you are baby Christians. Some of you have never really heard much about Jesus. And this is your first exposure. We are so glad that you're here. Wherever you're coming from, my prayer is that when you're here at Church in the Falls, you'll feel comfortable and safe to ask hard questions. We want you to make a friend, have a great cup of coffee, and leave just a little closer to Jesus. So we just want to invite you. So glad that you're here. So please come back and let us be a blessing to you as you have already been a blessing to us. Now, our first speaker is Mr. Paul Maxwell. And they have been, I think, pretty regularly attending our church for 6 months or 8 months. I don't know exactly. But just a little while. And I know many of you on second service don't know him because he's more of a first service guy. So we will push play on that video. Go.
I'm thankful for, and I could start off by saying I'm so thankful for my family, my three ladies, Rhonda, Chloe, and Claire. But that's a given. I am very thankful for them, but I wanted to tell you about some things that I'm thankful for you might not know about. One of them is I'm thankful for this church. Back in late 1985, I accepted a job at Goodyear as a co-op. And so my preacher at my church in Michigan called the church here. A few days later, Jim Hogan called me. Jim helped me set up some housing, and he talked to me about what it was like to work at Goodyear. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, Jim's had a rough week, and I really appreciate Jim. He's meant a lot in my life, and Donna, and so I'm thankful for Jim and Donna. About that time, two young men became my friends, and that friendship has lasted this whole time and gotten stronger. I can't even describe in words what their impact on my life has been. Not just my life, but the life of my family. And so I want to say thank you and to let you know I'm thankful for Mike Hogan and Craig Feldman, whom I love like brothers.
thank you to Paul for going first. I want to read from Psalms 139. Just soak this in for a minute. O Eternal One, you have explored my heart, and you know exactly who I am. You even know all the small details, like when I take a seat and when I stand up again. Even when I'm far away, you know what I'm thinking. You observe my wanderings and my sleeping, my waking and my dreaming, and you know everything I do in more detail than even I know. You know what I'm going to say long before I say it? It is true, Eternal One, that you know everything and you know everyone. You have surrounded me on every side, behind me and before me, and you have placed your gentle hand on my shoulder. It is the most amazing feeling to know how deeply you know me, inside and out. The realization of it is so great that I cannot comprehend it. Can I go anywhere from your spirit? Is there anywhere I can escape from your watchful presence? If I go up into heaven, you're there. And if I make a bed in the realm of the dead, you're there. I ride on the wings of the morning. If I make my home in the most isolated part of the ocean, even then, you'll be there to guide me. Your right hand will embrace me, for you are always there. And even if I am afraid and I think to myself, there is no doubt that the darkness will swallow me, the light around me will soon be turned to night. But you can see in the dark. For it is not dark to your eyes. For you, the night is just as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to your eyes. What a blessing to know how deeply God knows and loves us. Our next speaker today is Stephen Flask. Where are you, brother? Go ahead and come on up here. I met Stephen at camp, I guess, what, 7, 8 years ago. And so we've developed a friendship for a while, and he's been attending our church now for 6, 8 months, a little while. So take it away.
Better? Okay. So I was saying, some of you know me for 20 years, some of you for 6 months, some of you in between. Regardless of how long we've known each other, I am glad and blessed to know you all. So I used to teach at Kent State's Ashtabula campus. Last spring, they had gratitude boards posted around various places, and the idea was that you would write something on a sticky note that you were either grateful or thankful for. It's definitely working now. And then you would attach the note to the board. It was anonymous, quick, and usually easy. I'd put a note on the board in the faculty lounge whenever I was there, which was twice a week, so about 9 times over the space it was there. Don't worry about the math. I made a list of what I put up there. There were 9 things that I said. I will not go into all of them because time doesn't permit me to, and the spirit forbids me discussing some of them. Actually, I'm just going to go over one of them. I am thankful for accountability, and I am thankful for the people who keep me accountable. Prior to coming here, I was seeing the effects of a lack of accountability in both my own life and that of others, and it was not a good time or a healthy place to be. Accountability is being honest, responsible, and vulnerable with God, others, and yourself, saying, I cannot do this alone. I know I am better than this because I am a child of God. Accountability, like communication, is a two-way street. And I've learned that as much as I want to be able to do things on my own, that it is not always possible and that sometimes I need help. Finding that help can be difficult and frustrating at times. Remember that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to withstand, though. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I am thankful for the accountability process and the people who hold me accountable because it has helped me see myself as someone who is saved by grace and not just as someone who is a worthless sinner. Accountability has taught me to accept and own my mistakes while not being dragged down with guilt or shame. Healthy accountability encourages. It doesn't condemn or easily give up. Accountability has taught me to monitor my words, actions, and thoughts, not to suppress them, but to filter them and to use that energy for good, not bad, to heal and not to harm. I still make mistakes. I still slip up. I still lose it with people sometimes. But accountability and the ones who hold me accountable, because self-regulation is not enough, has brought me peace, even in the midst of trial or temptation. James writes to confess your trespasses / sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, James 5:16. Confession is difficult, though, and it requires us to be vulnerable to a choice few. I've learned that it's better to let God choose and the Spirit lead us to those people than for us to choose ourselves. That requires trust in God to handle our problems, which is hard for some of us to do. When we heal from an injury or surgery, it hurts sometimes. Healing from sin and Satan's lies hurts as well at times. I am thankful for accountability. If you know you need to be more accountable for whatever reason, be it public or private sin, ask God for guidance as to who to seek out. It might take a while. Don't give up hope, though. I am blessed by several people here and elsewhere who aren't afraid to hold me accountable in both the big and small things. Thank you for your time. God bless you all.
Thank you. Awesome. I do want to draw your attention to the fact I asked Stephen to share what he's thankful for, and he says accountability. I just want you to think with me for a minute. How many of you would have said that, or even have that as a blessing in your life? If not, I want to invite you to consider it. Having people know you and knowing them and having a level of gentle pressure to live out of a better self, it is a tremendous blessing. It is one of the main reasons that we have church gatherings. I mean, we can hear great sermons on the internet. You can listen to great praise and worship music all over the world in different places and times. Something special about being with the body, that is, we get to see each other and we get to know one another and we get to encourage and hold each other accountable. It's one of the ways that we live out. And God is very interested in that by knowing us as well. Let me continue reading in Psalms 139. Listen to this. For you shaped me inside and out. You knitted me together in my mother's womb long before I even took my first breath. I will offer you my grateful heart, for I am your unique creation, filled with wonder and awe. You have approached even the smallest details with excellence. Your works are wonderful. I carry this knowledge deep inside of my soul. You see all things. Nothing about me was hidden from you. As I took shape in secret, carefully crafted in the heart of the earth before I was born to the womb. You see all things. You saw me growing, changing in my mother's womb. Every detail of my life was already written in your book. You established the length of my life before I ever tasted the sweetness of it. Your thoughts and plans are treasures to me. Oh God, I cherish each and every one of them. How grand in scope and how many in number. If I could count each one of them, there would be more than all the grains of the sand of the earth. The number is inconceivable. Even when I wake up, I am still near you. Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply. Discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. Examine me to see if there is an evil bone in me. And guide me down your path forever. This is one of the great blessings of Scripture, that God knows us. You hear that accountability in that, right? There's an understanding. God sees you as you are, and He loves you just the same. Our next speaker is Kyle Feldman. Now, Kyle Feldman has grown up in this church. He is not at all new to our heritage here, but he is a recently new converted, committed Christian as in the last, several years here. So we're excited for him to share, and he's also a first service guy, so some of you don't get to know him. Take it away, Kyle.
And I'm really talking about challenges, failures, and frustrations. We all want our kids to do well. And moms and dads, we love you for that. But setting a good example during those times is so important. A couple things in my life. I'm 52. Diabetes when I was 28. So if you hear something buzzing, it's probably my pump, my continuous glucose monitor, the phone. I always got to make sure it's not buzzing because when it gets too high or too low, it buzzes. So diagnosed with diabetes. Then divorce. Difficult. I was afraid to go see my mom and dad because of the example they set in how to treat each other. I had to grab my brother. I called my brother. I said, Chet, can you come with me? I got to talk to mom and dad. I needed some support. Then heart surgery, right? I don't know. It was 2012, open heart surgery. And of course, my mom and dad are there again. And then election. I just got elected, and I had told my mom, I go, Mom, I need your help. And she was, you know, getting everybody's name and address in the church who lives in Stowe. So if I was in your yard and she talked to you, thank you, because that was me running around in your neighborhood putting a sign in. So good times and bad, and frustrations and failures and adversity, to set a good example is so important. So this past week I was thinking, I went to a calling hours, and it was a longtime policeman in Stowe, my assistant athletic director. It was his father-in-law, and I know you've all been there. We get to the calling hours, and we wait in line. So I waited about 48 minutes, and as I'm waiting in line, I'm thinking, I knew David gave me this assignment, and I'm thinking, what are people going to say about me or you? And I couldn't help but think how important just setting a good example is. And that's all you really want them to say, right? And I hope I can do that. When you describe my dad, it's pretty simple. Smart, steady, patient, values hard work. He's one of those go to work early, stay late guys. Some of you that are here that know him. First service guy, right? But he gave me some advice after the election. He goes, you know, city council, listen and keep your head down. It's so my dad, right? Listen and keep your head down until you learn, and then you can comment, right? Mom, what does she do? She's happy, positive, seeks the good in people, for sure, helpful, compassionate. I hope I can be those things of the example that dad and mom have set. I tell my mom all the time, she's going to live a long time, right? Psychology Today, look at any study. All of us know happy people live a long time. My mom's 80, 81. I said, Mom, you're on your way to 100. Keep at it, because that's what happens to happy people. So finally, when we look at setting a good example, you got to revert back to the church. I was talking to Greg Loney after the first service, and Greg Loney, Jim Hogan, and my dad taught young teenagers in class. And my dad handed out this little piece of paper. Of course, it was a list, right? And I had it for the longest time, but I'll never forget it. At the top of it, it said, the plan of salvation. Makes sense. That's what we all want. Hear, believe, repent, confess, live godly. Simple. And it's really not that complex. That's really all we have to do. But setting a good example as they have is so important. I can't thank them enough for doing that. And I hope I can only be a combination of those characteristics that they have set for my five brothers and our large family. And I hope all of you can do that too. So thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Amazing, thinking about the heritage and the legacy of the Feldman family. Speaking of fathers and parental nature, listen to Romans 8, another blessing to know about how God views us. If the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are His children. You see, you have not received a spirit that returns you to slavery. You have nothing to fear. The Spirit you have received adopts you and welcomes you into God's own family. That's why we call out to him, Abba Father, as we would address a loving daddy. Through that prayer, God's Spirit confirms in our spirits that we are his children. Abba Father, daddy, it is this very intimate term. God is desiring for us to know him, to see him, and to be seen by him. And that is a tremendous and wonderful blessing. We do have one last presentation today. And this is going to be John and Liz Johnson. They are a husband and wife. So they are going to bring a little different flavor, a little different tinge. So go for it.
Hello. I am thankful that God answered a prayer of needing a community and leading us to this church. Sometimes God surprises and goes above and beyond in answering our prayers. I have a journal entry from our time without a community, uncertain and in the wilderness, and it lasted for what felt like a year before we came here in the spring of last year. It's a cry for community and friends, because without embraces, encouragements, and engagements, there's a huge void in life. God knows this, and that's one reason that God has blessed us with community, so we don't have to go it alone. It's like God brought connections into my life through this church that were richer and deeper than any previous community I belonged to. Relationships I didn't even know I needed that have brought on much stretching and growth in ways God only knew I was ready for and needed. I'm also very thankful that Spirit prompted me to begin prayer journaling a number of years ago. When I can go back into my story and see how God's hand at work, I don't have to leave it up to chance. If I'll actually remember the ways that God has moved in my life, I can literally read it over and over again. I'm thankful that I can look back and see the many ways that God has brought redemption to some pretty difficult and hopeless times in my life. Rereading these journals and prayers in turn has caused faith, hope, and love to grow each time I find it dwindling. I'm thankful that God didn't stop moving in people's lives after the Bible was written, but that God continues to work within the life and story of each and every one of us. And I'm thankful that part of the means by which the love of God is revealed is through embracing, encouraging, and engaging. May our eyes and ears be filled with wonder like a child as we choose to see the mysterious and awesome ways that God is revealed in the presence of others and community as a whole. Thank you.
I will just rearrange this here. Well, my name's John, and I'm thankful for music. Get those songs out there. So earlier this week, actually it was on last Saturday, my dad came over. We had a birthday party for him, and during that party, he got out his phone and he was telling my son about music and how there's different types of music. And he pulled up the song, Hallelujah. It's an old Leonard Cohen song. And he pulled it up, and there's a guy playing it on glasses. You know, you ever hear the guy, they dip their hand in the water around the glass. It was beautiful. It was like a symphony. And as my son stands in amazement, I'm like transported, you know, two decades back in time to when I first heard that song when I was younger. It was when I first met my wife, Liz. And so it just took me back. And at that moment, I knew what me and David had talked about when he had asked me to talk about what I'm thankful for. I was like, well, it's got to be music, because that's it. Just I'm so thankful for those thoughts and those feelings coming back after 20 years of thinking about that. So that's what I'm thankful for. We're going to go ahead and play this song, Hallelujah, by Leonard Cohen.
Grateful for your music. What a blessing. I want to leave you with a thought here. Thanksgiving begins, I believe, in the reality of seeing God and knowing that you are seen by God. It is in the relationship element. That's what the difference between an abundant life and just a barely life. The difference between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. It's not some intellectual factoids. It's an experience of understanding that God knows who you are. And you can know who He is. Remember the psalmist David. Who am I? God even knows who I am. And yet, the Creator of the universe knows you and desires for you to know Him. And that is not little language. That is experiential language. It is ironic and perfect that we are in a unique divide today. Normally we have like three and four rows. It's all scattered everywhere. But because of a wedding yesterday, now they've got two sides. It represents the two becoming what? One, right? It's perfect. That is the language of Scripture. That God says that it is not just God and His people, but the two are becoming one. We are joined together in relationship with God. Christ even goes so far as to say that Christ is the groom and the church is the what? The bride. It is a marital relationship. It is an intimate knowledge. It is to see God and to be seen. That is where Thanksgiving is rooted. And everything that we do, it begins there and it ends there. The song Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the Hebrew word for praise. Yahweh is the formal name of God. Hallelujah. Way, if you were to add that, is literally praising the one who is and was and is to come. That is what we get to do because He knows who we are. And He loves us. And He sent His Son to set us free. And I hope that you don't leave today without that kernel of truth in your heart and your spirit. Read the passages, soak it in, appreciate all the great words today. But if you'll notice, everything that was said today is around that. Friendship, accountability, family, church, the Spirit. The reality is there's something about seeing clearly and being seen for who you really are. And God loves you anyway. This is the phrase I want to leave you with. No matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, God loves you so much He will meet you right there. No matter where you're at. You can be hating Him today and He will meet you right there. And God loves you so much and too much to let you stay there. He's just going to gently nudge you into a better life, a preferred future. There are challenges, but there's a tremendous amount of blessings. Being known by God, seeing God and being seen, that is where Thanksgiving is rooted. I'm going to offer a short word of prayer and we are going to sing a song to close out and I'll bless us with an ending. But I hope that your Thanksgiving is wonderful. I hope that you'll soak in every morsel and every moment and enjoy the Lord. And don't forget my assignment. If you have a 2 or 3 offense and you respond with an 8 or 9 response, make a note. We're going to talk about that in the new year, okay? You're going to have some challenges this week, and that's good, and that is healthy. Let's stand together and let's pray. Father, You are good to us, and we love You. We thank You. And I ask that You would reach into our heart and move us with Thanksgiving today. To know that the Creator of the entire universe knows our name, knows the number of hairs on our head, knows every detail about us, and that You love us still, and that You want what's best for us. Lord, we give You praise, and we submit ourselves to You in the name of Jesus. Let all who agree say, Amen. Let's praise.
Give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness, You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You only. You give life, You are love, You bring light. Restore every heart.
now live all over the earth. He decided exactly when they should live and decided exactly where they should live. God did this so people would seek him and perhaps find him. Though he's not far from any of us, you go in peace knowing God has always been with you.